No Messina player had ever been cursed by Coach Rake with as much frequency and enthusiasm as Silo Mooney. No one had deserved it as much. No one craved the verbal abuse as much as Silo. At the north end of the bleachers, down where the rowdies from the county once raised so much hell, an older man moved quietly up to the top row and sat down. He was too far away to be recognized, and he certainly wanted to be alone. He gazed at the field and was soon lost in his own memories. The first jogger appeared and began plodding counterclockwise around the track. It was the time of day when the runners and walkers drifted to the field for a few laps. Rake had never allowed such nonsense, but after he was sacked, a movement arose to open the track up to the people who'd paid for it. A maintenance man was usually loitering somewhere nearby, watching to make sure no one dared step on the grass break field. There was no chance of that. "Where's Floyd?" Neely asked. "Still in Nashville, picking his guitar and writing bad music, chasing the dream." "Ontario?" "He's here, working at the post office. He and Takeda have 3 kids. She's teaching school and as sweet as always. They're in church 5 times a week. So he's still smiling. Always. Denny? Still here. Teaches chemistry in that building right over there. Never misses a game." "Did you take chemistry?"
"I did not."
"Neither did I. I had straight A's and never cracked a book."
"You didn't have to, Neely. You were the All-American."
"And Jesse's still in jail?"
"Oh, yeah. He'll be there for a long time."
"Where is he?"
"Buford. I see his mother every now and then and I always ask about him. It makes her cry, but I can't help it." "Wonder if he knows about Rake," Neely said. Paul shrugged and shook his head, and there was another gap in the conversation as they watched an old man struggle in a painful trot around the track. He was followed by 2 large young women, both burning more energy talking than walking.
"Did you ever learn the true story of why Jesse signed with Miami?" Neely asked.
"Not really. Lots of rumors about money, but Jesse would never say."
"Remember Rake's reaction?"
"Oh, yeah. He wanted to kill Jesse. I think Rake had made some promises to the recruiter from A&M.
"Rake always wanted to deliver the prizes," Neely said, with an air of experience.
"He wanted me at State.
That's where you should have gone."
"Too late for that."
"Why'd you sign with Tech?"
"I liked their quarterback coach."
"No one liked their quarterback coach. What was the real reason?"
"You really want to know?"
"Yeah, after 15 years, I really want to know."
$50,000 in cash.
"No."
"Yep. State offered 40, A&M 35. A few others were willing to pay 20.
"You never told me that."
"I never told anyone until now.
Such a sleazy business."
"You took $50,000 in cash from Tech?"
Paul asked slowly.
$500 $100 bills, stuffed in an unmarked red canvas bag and placed in the trunk of my car one night while I was at the movies with Screamer. Next morning, I committed to Tech."
"Did your parents know?"
"Are you crazy? My father would have called the NCAA.
"Why'd you take it?"
"Every school offered cash, Paul. Don't be naive. It was part of the game."
"I'm not naive. I'm just surprised at you."
"Why?"
"I could have signed with Tech for nothing, or I could have taken the money. $50,000 to an 18-year-old idiot is like winning the lottery."
"But still, every recruiter offered cash, Paul. There wasn't a single exception.
I figured it was just part of the business."
"How'd you hide the money?"
"I stuffed it here and there. When I got to Tech, I paid cash for a new car. It didn't last long."
"And your parents weren't suspicious?"
"They were, but I was away at college and they couldn't keep up with everything."
"You saved none of it?"
"Why save money when you're on the payroll?"
"What payroll?"
Neely reshifted his weight and gave an indulging smile.
"Don't patronize me, asshole," Paul said. "Oddly enough, most of us didn't play football at the Division I level."
"Remember the Gator Bowl my freshman year?"
"Sure,
Everyone watched it. I came off the bench in the second half, threw 3 touchdowns, ran for 100 yards, won the game on a last-second pass. A star is born. I'm the greatest freshman in the country, blah, blah, blah. Well, when I got back to school, there was a small package in my P.O. box. $5,000 in cash. The note said, "Nice game. Keep it up." It was anonymous. The message was clear. Keep winning, and the money will keep coming. So I wasn't interested in saving money. Silo's pickup had a custom paint job that was an odd mix between gold and red. The wheels glistened with silver, and the windows were pitch black. "There he is," Paul said, as the truck rolled to a stop near the gate. "What kind of truck is that?" Neely asked. "Stolen, I'm sure." Silo himself had been customized. A leather World War II bomber jacket, black denim pants, black boots. He hadn't lost weight, hadn't gained any either, and still looked like a nose tackle as he walked slowly around the edge of the field. It was the walk of a Messina Spartan, almost a strut, almost a challenge to anyone to utter a careless word. Silo could still put on the pads, snap the ball, and draw blood. Instead, he gazed at something in the middle of the field. Perhaps it was himself a long time ago. Perhaps he heard Rake barking at him. Whatever Silo heard or saw stopped him on the sideline for a moment. Then he climbed the steps with his hands stuck deep in the pockets of his jacket. He was breathing hard when he got to Neely. He bear-hugged his quarterback and asked him where he'd been for the past 15 years. Greetings were exchanged, insults swapped. There was so much ground to cover that neither wanted to begin.